Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Is anybody glad this morning to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. And what is even more exciting is that God has made us the temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Want us to go ahead and appreciate God. Let's just go ahead and thank God for making us His temple, His tabernacle, for choosing to tabernacle with us, for choosing to love us. The Bible says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the expression of your love, your creation. The Bible says, O God, that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Lord, the birds of the air, they sing praises to you. The stones cry out and appreciate your greatness and your goodness. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Thank you for your love, O God. Out of the abundance of your love, Father, you choose to create all your creations. And Lord, you crowned it with glory by making man in your image and likeness. Take all the praise, O God, and take all the glory. Thank you, Father, for every single person this morning gathered, Lord, in your presence. We use ourselves, Father, as points of contact. God, from east to west, from north to south, unto you shall the gatherings of the people be. And Lord, people have gathered in the past 24 plus hours, O God, different places of the world, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in small gatherings, in large gatherings, in private places, in public squares, proclaiming the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving you praise and thanks, and God, you releasing your word unto your people. Lord, we open our ears at this time, want to receive your word, and God, we thank you because you love us, and you continue to express your love, O God, unto us. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Amen. We've been sharing on the series on love and abiding in the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, he told us, and we are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser, and he prunes every branch so that it will bear much fruit. Amen. And all that God does, he does in love and with love. Amen? The Bible says that God is love. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been sharing from that scripture, and we will never be able to exhaust it. And if we notice, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is basically an insert. Why do I say it's an insert? Yes, it's the chapter on love. But Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. And basically he was dealing with questions and problems and issues in that local church. Amen. And apparently, they had sent across to him some questions. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of efforts by the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I read that again. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom. So here are different gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. And to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another, faith. So we see the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We see faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing. So there is faith, there are gifts of healing. And to another, the effecting of miracles. Miracles, working miracles is a gift of the Spirit. And to another, prophecy. And to another, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. That's another gift. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now he compared that with the body, the various parts of the body, the hand, the leg, the eyes, the ears, all so on and so forth, and they all form one body, even though they are different parts. Now if we fast forward to the very last verse, the very last verse says in verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. So here, Paul gave a list of spiritual gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, give faith, you know, working miracles, healings, tongues, different gifts. And as these gifts manifest, you will see that they are supernatural. Okay, they are actually divine. They are gifts from God. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and they operate. And given all that, he says he wants to show us, he encouraged us to desire greater gifts. Okay, so these gifts apparently are in ranks. And that he will show us a still more excellent way. So I asked us to open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I'm going to ask us to take a look at chapter 14. So in chapter 14 it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. But especially, excuse me, that you may prophesy. Praise the Lord. So why did I say that 1 Corinthians 13 is an insight? Paul is responding to questions and needs and challenges in the Corinthian church. And one of them is about spiritual gifts. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, and he set out to teach them about spiritual gifts. And then in chapter 14, he continued that teaching, giving them the operations and way and manner to use the spiritual gifts. But somewhere in that whole treatise, in that whole exposition of the spiritual gifts, what they are, how to use them, what they do, he put an insert and he qualified it. He said, I will show you a more excellent way. And he started talking about love. So the love is not just a gift. Yes, it's a gift from God, but it's a way. It is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not just a gift. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, by their fruits we shall know them. So you know a tree, every single tree is known by its fruit. Okay, if you are not sure what a tree is, if you see the fruit, you'll be sure. There will be no more question. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that by our fruits, we shall be known to be his disciples. And what was that fruit he said? A singular one. He didn't mention any of these, much as all these other gifts are important. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's so basic. Okay, it's a very important gift. But he didn't say that by the faith we have, you know, people will know that we are Christians. He said by the love we have for God and the love we have one for another, people will know that we are Christians. And it actually happened in Antioch. You know, he says for the first time, the people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called Christians. They didn't even like start proclaiming themselves, okay, we are Christians or anything, but people looked at them by seeing how they lived and how they love one another, how they love God. People say these are Christians. Amen? So this insight of love is more than just a gift. It is a gift, it is a way, it is a fruit. And the Bible, Paul called it a more excellent way. And God has given us a revelation that I would like us to keep reminding ourselves concerning this love. It is not as we love one another, as we show patience, as we show kindness, then we are loving. No. It is, love is a gift that God gives us that we receive from God. God is love. You know, there are a few things that, you know, the Bible used to describe God. You know, God is holy. God is faithful. You know, God is love. And God loves us eternally with an everlasting love. Amen? Praise the Lord. And God wants us to be God-like. God made us in his image and likeness. So as we receive love from God, as we experience the love of God, that is a vertical relationship. Okay? Remember, as a math teacher, I really love this X and Y axis. Okay? The Cartesian coordinate. My dear prof, right? The X and Y axis. So the vertical axis is your relationship with God. It is exclusive. You should not have allegiance to any other being other than God. It's not revolution. It's not Darwinian theory. It is not human philosophy. It is not communism. It's not capitalism. It's not any ism. It's not any school of thought of man. God, Jehovah, Creator, should be honored, believed in, adored, and him alone. No other God beside me, says the Lord. It's a commandment. So vertically, we believe in God, we love God, we honor God, we adore God. But in that same process, that in itself is an expression, is our own loving response to God that loves us. So God loves us vertically. He pours his love down unto us. By the expression of his love, he created us. So we should continually receive love from God, no matter what situation in which we are in. The situations we know, the ones we do not know. The ones we understand, the ones we do not understand. The ones that are so crystal clear, the ones that are mysterious. You know, just love God, believe in him, adore him, worship him, and him alone. And in the process, receive the love of God. Receive the love of God. And as we receive that, we receive it as that is, he is our God and he is our Father. And when it comes to Father, I mean, if you look at me, or maybe you look at other human fathers, you know, we fall short. any human father, no matter how effort he makes, no matter how good he tries to be, yes, he's going to fall short. Amen? Even if he scores 100% sometimes, but it's not possible for a human being to score 100% consistently every time. Okay? So do not use your experience of a father, maybe your father or a human father you know, to say, okay, that is the way God is. No, he is everlasting father. He is God. He is love. He is good. There is nothing bad about him. There is no evil. The thoughts he thinks towards us, they are thoughts of good. Amen? So, vertically, if we get this identity right, if we get our place in God right, that we have a God and Father. So, when I am hungry, my Father will provide for me. One of the benefits I got from my Father, my human Father, is that, you know, I was somebody that grew up, and my life, emotionally and psychologically, was governed by three things, three very powerful emotions that were really devastating. Fear, worry, and anxiety. You know, fear of evil, fear of evil men, evil spirits, fear of, you know, people poisoning me, fear of all kinds of things. Even by the time I got to high school, you know, fear whether, I mean, for the first time, classes became like challenging. You know, the teachers we teach, I will understand it, but the volume is so much, and I was afraid, not sure if I was going to pass or not. And even it came out in my attitude. You know, the kind of questions I ask, my classmates will even, they find it so funny and ridiculous. They think that I'm asking questions that is so obvious, maybe to everybody, but it's not to me, so I ask the questions. And then we take tests, and I do very well. I mean, I do very, very well in tests. So my classmates started concluding that I was just asking questions. I already know the answer. That I was just asking for the sake of asking. No. You are teaching me math or physics or something. I don't understand something. I ask. So it was really something. But in the midst of that, I would be afraid. I would be anxious. I would be worried whether I was going to pass. And then we do a test, and we pass. I've never got less than the second place every semester, every time. I mean, I may not get that first place. Cyril Laka and we get the first place, or Sylvester Mbakog. The second place is me. And yet, during the time of study and things, I will be behaving like I, you know, so anxious, so worried, and many a time afraid. Praise the Lord. That governed my life for years. You know, afraid of evil people you hear about, evil people you hear about witchcraft, and, you know, afraid of darkness. But in the midst of all that, even at night or during the day, if my dad was presently, physically present with me, it may be dark and there is no light at all, I won't be afraid. But that's just that sense of protection. My father was there. You know, and he has some, you know, weapons, you know, when you think about it, some kind of weapon you can use to even kill voracious animals. You know, like the javelin, he has a very sharp knife, he has, you know, so just, if he's around, I wasn't afraid. My father was there. Okay, if I was hungry, because my father was there, I knew he and my mom, they are going to figure it out. You know, sometimes I may cry myself to sleep because of hunger. Because sometimes, you know, during the harvest, between the harvest and the planting season, sometimes there is this 2-3 months called the famine period, you know. So sometimes there will just be that challenge of hunger. And that's one of the things that generated my fear and anxiety. Will I be able to survive? Will I be able to have some the food to eat? So it was so real. But if my father and my mother were there, I knew that no matter what happens, somehow they're going to figure it out and put food on the table. So if my earthly father could have that kind of benefit to me of protection, of provision, and I knew that in his capacity, he did not have everything he took to take care of me, For example, during my second year in college, okay, when I finished my high school, I started teaching. I saved enough money and paid my way to my first year in college. But after that, no more money. And my parents did not have the finances to foot my education. I was worried. I was anxious. I was afraid. And my father had to call one of my cousins and mortgage a piece of land. Say, take this land, lend me some money so I can send my son, Peter, back to school. My cousin gave us the money and said, don't worry about the piece of land. Keep it to yourself. You know, have the money. That was God moving providentially to provide for me. So beyond the capability of my father providing for me, even he wasn't able to provide, but there is this intervention, the divine intervention. God in heaven, who is also my father, made a provision. And here am I. During that second year, I got a federal government loan and I got a state government scholarship. And the rest of my 4 years in college were paid. I finished college debt-free. And less than 1% of people from my state get scholarship. So it's not just something that randomly happened. You know, that is a divine coincidence, if anybody would want to call it a coincidence. God in heaven provided for me. Praise the Lord. And if you talk about love, I can tell you tangibly in more ways than one experience of God's love that I have had personally. So if my Heavenly Father loves me and can provide protection, a sense of protection for me, and my Heavenly Father loves me so much that even in the midst of difficulties and challenges, He made a way where there seemed to be no way. And my first year in college, that was when I had the gospel. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and we were taught that outside of the Catholic Church, there are no other genuine Christians, that the Catholic Church was the only true church. So it was really difficult to listen to the gospel from anybody. If the person is not a reverend father, or a reverend brother, or a reverend sister. So... But I had a love for the Bible, yet I was not able to read the Bible. When I got to the college, I found this prayer group inside the Catholic Church. Every Sunday on the church bulletin, there will be this announcement. The Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Something just in my heart warmed up to check this out. And then every Wednesday evening, I will forget. And then next Sunday, you know, I was an altar boy. I will see this bulletin. I will remember, oh, I didn't go last Wednesday. Then one day, I remembered, and I went. So when I got there, something happened. And the only way I can describe it is this topic we are talking about, love. I witnessed love. Before then, did I tell you that my life was governed by fear, worry, and anxiety? But I was also praying. I mean, as a Catholic, I would pray every day. I pray before meal. I pray when I wake up. I pray when I go to sleep. But most of the prayers I was praying were from prayer group, recitations, prayers I learned, and I would recite them. Praise God. So sometimes I believed in God. Sometimes I felt that there is God. Sometimes I doubted, is there really God? Sometimes, you know, so it was up and down. But that day, I saw people talking to God as their father. They're talking to God like they knew him. They seated around. It's not like the way we're sitting now. They stay around so you basically can see everybody, you know, and I saw the Reverend Father that says Mass for us every Sunday. I saw some people I see at church on Sundays, and then a few others. I saw students, I saw professors, I saw university staff. So I stayed there, and they were talking to God like they knew God. What is this? So and they're giving testimonies, they're reading, opening the Bible and reading, and say, this is what I understand from this. And it was different. And I liked it. So I went, since that day, I never forgot Wednesday night, I will go there. And then within a few weeks, they organized Life in the Spirit seminars, 7 weeks of really exposure to the basics of the Bible. God's love, human nature, fall of man, God's love to our salvation, and then baptism in the Holy Spirit and call to ministry. It was a transformation for me. And it was a personal experience of the love of God. Since that experience of giving my heart to Jesus and asking him to come into my heart till today, I've never doubted for one day whether there was God. So when we experience the love of God, nobody can talk you out of it. Okay? So it's our walk with God is not based on experience. It starts by faith, believing the word of God. But when we believe the word of God, and now we experience the love of God, because the love of God has been there for us all this while. The Bible says that it's by his mercies that we are not consumed. Amen? It is by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. Praise the Lord. We woke up this morning. We got out of our bed. We may take it for granted, but you know, there are some people that are not able to do that. We opened our eyes. I knew one time that I was suffering so much in my eyes, I couldn't open my eyes. Even at night, you light a candle light. It was too bright for my eyes. I still could not open my eyes. So when we just open our eyes and we can move around, let's not even take it for granted. Let's say thanks to God, because we're experiencing the love and goodness of our God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, I have personally experienced the love of God, and I invite you, I say God is good. Jeremiah, that we call the weeping prophet, in his famous book called the Book of Lamentation, in chapter 3, he did say there that the steadfast love of our God does not cease, for his mercies are new every morning. The steadfast love of our God and his mercies, they are new every morning. He said, great is his faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians 13, if you want to open that with me, I want us to take a look at it as we wrap our sharing up here in a moment. Paul set out to show us what he called a more excellent way. Let me get this in New King James Version. Okay. Again, the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It says, have not love. So love is something we have. Love is not something we do. God is love. So he causes his love to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So love is something we have. We receive it. And one of the things we want to do this morning is we want to, just intentionally and prayerfully receive love from God. Just receive his love. Amen? So if I do things you cannot possibly do except with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or, extraordinary things, going beyond the call of duty, speaking in with the tongues of men and of angels, if I do not have love, he said, I become empty, a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it promised me nothing. We're having Bible study last Wednesday, and we looked closely at this scripture and a few other scriptures. And it's really very doubtful, it's very questionable if there is a spiritual gift without love. If you actually remove love, it's very questionable if there can be any spiritual gift. Because, like I said earlier, love is not just a gift. It is a way. God is love. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Even in Galatians chapter 6, chapter 5 and 6, where God, Paul talked about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, is singular, fruit of the Spirit. And then love, and mention many other things. And you look at those things, they are attributes of love. Various ways of manifestation of love. And remember, the love we are talking about here is agape, the God kind of love. Amen? So, he says, love suffers, verse 4, love suffers long. In other words, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself, love is not puffed up, love does not behave rudely, love does not seek its own, is not provoked, love does not think evil. You know, so what happens when you catch yourself doing any of these things? Thinking evil, you know, doubting somebody, second-guessing somebody. What happens when you catch yourself? Well, do what you need to do. Start with vertical relationship. God, this is not you. This does not come from you. Therefore, I reject it in Jesus' name. I replace this with love. If it is about your brother, about your sister, begin to speak prophetically about that brother and that sister and your relationship with that person. You want God to create? The Bible says, let's take heed what we have in our thoughts. Say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So if we, because, you know, we're not saying here that we have become angels and perfect. You can catch yourself manifesting any of these things. Okay? He says, love does not envy. If you catch yourself, an envious thought comes into your mind, and you see that, deal with it. We're in a spiritual warfare. Reject it and replace it. You know, bless that person. God, I thank you for the your blessing upon this person. I rejoice with him. I rejoice with her in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you because your blessings is flowing. As you're blessing that person, blessings will also flow to you and through you. Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Love does not think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Amen? Verse 8. Love never fails. He says, whether you are thinking of prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. Whether they are knowledge, it will vanish away. Talk of knowledge. You know science? How many scientists do we have in the room? If you consider yourself a scientist, can you raise your hand? Scientists in trade. Even the people in grade school. If you're a scientist or you want to be a scientist, can you raise your hands? Everybody, just raise your hand. God bless you. Yeah. Yes. If you're a scientist or you want to be a scientist or you're a scientist in training, can you raise your hands? I'm not going to stop until I see all the hands I know, at least those I know. Yes, thank you, thank you. Oh, my beautiful, you're a scientist? Yeah, give them give yourselves a hand or a round of applause. Just clap for yourselves. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of scientists in the room. Amen? So, and science had to do with facts that are repeatable. That is, if it is science in Japan, You repeat that thing in Nigeria, it is science. It will prove it. You know, it will happen. But do you know that our knowledge of science is still limited? The science they taught me in high school is not the science they are teaching in high school now. The one they taught me about 30 years ago in high school is not the same one. I mean, they say that atom was the most indivisible. They talked about that atom's atomic theory. The one that shocked me was in the same textbook where they gave me that atom's atomic theory. A few chapters after that, they gave me the modified one. Oh. And then the one, the time it was theory, it really held up as facts and theory. And then a while after, modification. And I can't even begin to tell you what has happened now with the information technology. And don't even think for a moment that information technology is perfect. I happen to have at this side information. I'm in IT right now, and we build these things, and then it collapses. Dr. Dominic, how many times have I gone to try to help fix some of his computer and things? And why does it keep breaking down if it is perfect? If our science is so set on stone and doesn't move. You know what the Word of God says in Psalm 119? Verse 87, say the word of God is eternally settled in heaven. The word of the Lord is eternally settled in heaven. Praise the Lord. So if it is not the word of God, don't cast all your stone on it. Okay? Let's take the word of God for what it is. The word of God. It's even knowledge we fail. So we are now in information superhighway. And then get into the internet, for example. Some useful pieces of information there, right? Yes? Are there a lot of rubbish there? Right? Okay. So information superhighway. So we need the discernment. All those gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then also the gifts mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11, you know, so many gifts of the Spirit. We need them. But the Bible is also telling us that the more excellent way is the way of love. So if I'm going to pray for somebody to be healed, it's going to be out of love. Love for God and love for the person and love for humanity. You know, and then not wanting myself. You become, not only will you be able to be like God in the sense of, for example, the aspect of forgiveness. You know, there is no offense that somebody will offend you that you cannot forgive. Okay? Worst case scenario, you are finding it difficult to forgive that person. Then you go back to that vertical relationship, receive love from God. And then you realize how much God has forgiven you. See, that realization helps us to forgive anybody. You realize that I have offended God and there is no way I can pay for my debt. If God didn't pay my debt, there is no way I can even become a child of God. Okay? If Jesus Christ did not die for my sins, I can never pay enough for my sins and be able to make it, you know, into God's family. So God forgave me a debt I cannot pay. And in the same way, He's gracing me to forgive my brother, my sister, the offense he has committed unto me. So when we experience the love of God vertically, we can horizontally allow that love of God to flow to my neighbor through me. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that the Holy Spirit will work it out so much that as we do that, wow, that is going to catch somebody's attention. This is divine. This is supernatural. This is godly. I like it. I want to have what you have. Now you have a missional moment. And we can evangelize. And we can disciple. The greatest of them all is love. Now, it's very interesting. Look at this scripture closely. It says that these things we seize, But not all of them, oh, not all of them we see. But when that which is perfect has come, verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Whether I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's a scripture worth memorizing if you haven't already. I know that some of you have memorized the entire chapter, so I don't want to belittle you or your capacity here. But 1 Corinthians 13:13, you know, the way it rhymes, 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Okay? So I say that, yes, a lot of these things we seize, but not all of them. So we see three things here that we not seize. Give them back to me. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you that you're still awake. It's a very great compliment. I haven't put everybody to sleep yet. Praise the Lord. Faith, hope, and love will abide, even in heaven, for eternity. What is faith? The evidence of things hoped for. Okay? The assurance of things hoped for. The what? And the assurance of things not seen. Right? Then, okay. Praise God. Okay, so how does that play out in heaven? Do we still need to be hoping for anything in heaven? Is the word of God going to abide and be present in heaven? Yes? Yeah. So, the substantiation of the word of God even in heaven will still be there, and that's faith. Hope? Okay. Whatever you hope for in heaven is realized, so you're free to let your hope run wild. Don't even limit anything at all. It will be fulfilled. See, these abide, but the greatest is love. The greatest is love. So we are being equipped to bear fruit unceasingly, especially this year. It's a season of unceasing fruitfulness. And for us to be able to bear fruit, we need of the Holy Spirit. Because my brother, my sister, when a demon begins to operate, we are better off, in fact, it's indispensable that we be discerning. We discern that this thing is not just blindness because of biochemistry and physiology, that there is a demon of blindness. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ cast out that demon spirit, and the ear of the deaf opened, and the dumb started speaking. So what we saw physically, what human beings see physically, is somebody is deaf, somebody is dumb, but behind the scene is a demon causing that problem. It takes spiritual gifts to be able to discern that and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the demon will leave. Like Paul and Silas did. Somebody came, oh, these are people who are telling you the good news of everlasting life. I mean, what was wrong with that? Wasn't that a truth? Yes. Even behind that, it was a demon spirit. And the Bible says that after a few days, Paul got angry in his spirit and he cast out the evil spirit. Yes. Persecution arose. They landed in jail. And the greatest is love. Instead of grumbling, instead of backbiting, instead of regretting, but God, wait a minute. Didn't we try to go into this other village and the Holy Ghost prevented us? We tried to go into that one and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow us. The dream I had about this Macedonian man saying, come over to Macedonia to help us. God, was it not you? We thought it was. They did not spend their time doing that. The identity is there. I am a child of God. I'm a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. God has his plan for me, and his plan for me is good. I know the thoughts he thinks towards us. So having that vertical thing down and solid, the Bible says at midnight, they were singing hymns and praising God. Amen. And the presence of God manifested. There was earthquake. Physically locked building doors were broken loose. The supernatural, the miracles. God has not changed. But he wants us to be so ingrained in love so that when the glory of the Lord begins to move, you know, naturally, human beings, we want to come and worship you. As a point of contact, as a child of God, as a servant of God, look at what they did to Paul, you know, and Barnabas, when they, you know, God used them to heal and do miracles. They came to worship them, but they loved God enough to say, no, don't do that. This is the things, the idol you people are worshiping. That's why we came to bring you the light and the gospel. Please don't do that. Okay? So it will take our being consumed all together by the love of God. You know, that whenever the devil comes in any way at all, even in a very subtle way, somebody wanting to praise you now, you'll be able to return that praise to God. Yes, Elizabeth praised the Virgin Mary, and she returned the praise to God. Just let's be so consumed with the love of God that if we have any need, don't even listen to the whispers of the devil, you know, oh, if God loves you, you know, this, why will he allow this? God loves me, that is why he allows it. And keep praising God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I would like you to share two scriptures with me and we pray. Isaiah 58. Is it possible to approach Isaiah 58? I think it's verse 13. The greatest is love, brethren. The greatest is love. And we want to receive the love of God. Acknowledge our reception of the love of God and run with it. Praise the Lord. Is that verse 13? No, it's not verse 13. What does verse 14 say? Verse 11. Yes. I want us to pray with this scripture. So I want to look at it and just take it. The Lord will guide you continually. Can somebody say amen? And satisfy your soul in drought. And strengthen your bones. Amen? You shall be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. I want you to receive from the Lord. Maybe it is a need. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe it is a ministry. Maybe it's a task, something. But receive from the Lord. Say he will guide you continually. So why don't you go ahead and let go? And let God. Raise your hands and pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, you will guide me continually and satisfy my soul in drought because you love me eternally. In the name of our Lord Jesus, make my bones fat, O God. I am like a watered garden. A spring of water whose waters fail not. Go ahead and pray. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, My God and my Father, this morning we acknowledge your love, your loving kindness. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we are the branches. And oh, Heavenly Father, you are the vine dresser. The sap flows from the root. Oh God, there are nutrients in the soil, in this well-watered garden. There are nutrients. God, the roots absorb these nutrients and they begin to flow in the sap, oh God, and get to the branches. Father, all we need do is to abide in the vine. God, the branches and the vine, they are one entity. Oh God, we want to abide in the vine. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, I commit my brothers and sisters here present this morning especially into your hands. The needs that are there, O God, the needs for healing in the soul, in the spirits, O God, in the bodies, in the minds. Supply, O God, divine healing. Supply divine nourishment in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, O God. Be a watered garden, O Father, a spring of water whose waters do not fail. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. Can we look at Isaiah 51 verses 1 to 3? This is a keynote scripture God gave us as we are wrapping up the 21-day prayer and fasting. Isaiah 51 verses 1 to 3. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look into the rock. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone as one and blessed him and increased him. Verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Amen. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the brethren, the consciousness of the presence of God, the consciousness of the love of God. If the consciousness of the presence of my father, my earthly father, my biological father, is a tall man, strong, that man was never sick. I never saw him. He was never bedridden, never sick until he had an accident a few months before his death that caused him to be bedridden. Was always strong. If his physical presence, it make me feel safe, how much more our Heavenly Father. Receive a revelation of the presence of God. Receive the consciousness of the presence of God. And as you're conscious of the presence of God, what is that problem? What is that mountain? What is that demon? What is that force that will shake you? Say, God makes you like the garden of the Lord. Raise your hand and pray. Father, I accept that you make me the garden of the Lord. The garden of the Lord. Ha! The garden of the Lord. Well-watered garden. Waters that do not fail. Garden that produces, that brings forth fruit in this season. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to go ahead and soak in the love of God. Soak in the love of God. God called Abraham as one man, yet he blessed him and increased him. God has called you as one person, and God will bless you and increase you. The Bible says that the little one among us shall become a thousand. Go ahead and pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, your children are gathered before you. Lord, you called us as one person. And God, in this church, you've called us as one. You bless us, Lord, and you increase us. The greatest is love, O God. Father, we need the gift of faith, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the working of miracles. And Father, I pray that, O God of heaven, because you are love, and because you have loved us, and you have called us to become your children, and so we are, God, we live in that consciousness as your children, and we have you as our Father. Therefore, we shall not lack. We shall not lack, O God, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Father, we will not call confederacy that which they call confederacy. We will not fear their fear. God, we will not fear unemployment. We will not fear economic crisis. We will not fear political upheaval, O God. Father, because we take our refuge in you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you're here and there is some kind of sickness, emotional sickness, psychological sickness, if it is fear, worry, anxiety, or, you know, codependency, any kind of emotional or psychological unwholeness, I want you to receive your healing from the Lord in Jesus' name. Receive the embrace of your Heavenly Father. He loves you. My God, thank you for your healing unto your children. Oh my God. Warm embrace of our Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Students in our midst, the hand of the Lord is upon you for good. The Bible says that the lines fall to you in pleasant places. Say amen. The Bible says in Psalm 119 that God makes you to have understanding more than your teachers because you take hold the testimony of the Lord and you keep the commandment of the Lord. You meditate on the word of God day and night. Go ahead and meditate on the word of God day and night and excel. The spirit of God, the spirit of excellence, like he gave unto Daniel, Esther, and Joseph, is your portion in Jesus' name. Excel in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And stand strong in your faith in God. Hallelujah. The love of God is upon you. Manifest that love before your fellows. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, is there any physical sickness? Any physical sickness in your body? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There is any physical sickness in your body? Just want you to look up to God right now for healing. Bible says that that man, before the gate called beautiful, looked unto Peter and John, expecting to receive money. But they said to him, silver and gold, we do not have. What we have, we give unto you. But this man in the lake, the pool of Bethesda, and then they are waiting for an angel to steer the water so somebody will jump in. And this man had been there crippled before he could even move. Somebody else had jumped in. But that's like a trickle. Jesus Christ is life that we will have life. He died a death, our death, that we will have life. And have life more abundantly. So I just want you to go ahead and believe God. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I will touch by the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. The greatest of this is love. Receive love from God. The love of God is touching you now. Just by faith, receive your healing in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I come against this infirmity. I command that yoke to be broken in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your children are set free. Free. Go in peace.
In the name of Jesus. There is.
Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.